B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What is going on with Kemba Walker?
Boston has emerged, Nicole, as the front runner to sign Kemba Walker once free agency opens on Sunday. They can create more salary cap space to get to his max number, but Kemba Walker is very likely to replace Kyrie Irving as the Celtics point guard.
All right, that's the big news of the morning, as you've been hearing all morning long here on the Sports Hub. Fireworks. That is Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN a short time ago. He's got it. Shams has it. They're saying Kemba Walker is likely, very likely, as you heard Adrian Wojnarowski put it, very likely to replace Kyrie Irving with the Celtics.
Oh, what disrespect to Terry Rozier. Okay, so they're getting Plan D.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that sad?
You're getting, you're paying the same amount for the player that you had, but you're getting lesser of a player. Like, Kyrie's a better player, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, this is what happens when people leave you and the better player leaves. You're forced to replace the player, and you might not find one, or there might not be one as good that wants to come and replace him. But you found a good player.
He's I think
a good
it's great. Player. I love it.
You do?
I'm loving it more and more by the minute.
It tells
actually.
You they're in it. That's why.
I told you yesterday I liked it, and I think that there are a lot of good reasons to do it. Just the fact that it shows the Celtics are still, you know, able to be a destination for a free agent.
Right.
This is great. A guy who was eligible for a Supermax contract with the team that he was with, and he ends up leaving that team. Granted, I don't think his team wanted to give him a Supermax contract. And he is going to choose the Celtics as his next team. Assuming it's true and assuming we see this happen. Okay, more on that in a minute. But how do you not like that element of it? Just that on the surface. Let's just deal with the basics to start. He's choosing the Celtics. Wow. Terrific. Great.
He's leaving Charlotte.
Doesn't matter.
Not a great market. Who
cares?
Go play a market for him.
Al Horford left Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like the worst possible sports town ever. Horrible market. And chose Boston. And we went, I mean, I know how I was. I was over the moon.
Right.
That a free agent took the Celtics at that point because the Celtics were so horrible and really had never attracted a legitimate free agent. And then they had. And here they are after everything they've been through with the trade of Isaiah Thomas and the questions surrounding how they treated him on the way out the door with the trade for Kyrie and him being unhappy at the end for the last, I don't know, at least 6 months, if not a year, and him leaving. Al Horford deciding he doesn't want to be a Celtic anymore after choosing the Celtics and him leaving. Many reports of disgruntled players. Reports from players, anonymous ones, that they don't think the communication with the head coach, Brad Stevens, has been good at times. And after all of that, this guy will reportedly choose the Celtics in the coming days. That's a win. That is such a win for the Celtics. And that is something worth being excited about.
Yeah, and probably getting a better person, right? And that's the problem here, supposedly, with this team. When Danny was just talking, what, a week ago, about we want people to want to come to work, that like it, that like each other, that create a good environment. And obviously the culture was not right for the team for whatever reason last year. And you can put a lot of it on Kyrie. You can put it all on the young kids, too. But I'm glad from the standpoint for me that this tells me they're still in it. They're still trying to get in it and be a contender. Because I'm not into a rebuild. I'm not into a stripped-down young team going out there playing hard every night, being stuck in the middle to the bottom of the NBA. That's not fun to watch every night. This guy trying to score and trying to make it fit with a healthy Gordon Hayward now. And then let's go Jaylen Brown. Let's go Jason Tatum. And then you still got Marcus Smart. Still need a big guy. Got to find a big guy. And I think maybe got something.
Yeah, they still have that as a gap in the roster, which they'll try and address.
Yep.
But I'm with you on that part of it, too. They're not taking a step back. They're doing everything in their power to try and continue to have this roster be as complete as possible.
Yeah, I don't want a reset button. I don't. Reset button in that sport makes you sort of a tune-out at times during the year. It really does. We're going to be hanging on every single game at the start with this kid when he gets here. Let's see how he responds.
Assuming he does choose the Celtics.
He's coming, yeah.
Assuming he does.
Oh, God, can you imagine if he doesn't?
Well, let me ask you this. Who's motivated to get this news out there right now?
Celtics.
Why?
Just because it seems like everything is falling apart for them. Bad stories about the coach, discourse, Kyrie texting people.
But all they do by putting this out there, if you believe that, and I don't because I don't think it's the Celtics, all you're doing is risking it blowing up in your face over the next couple of days.
Not if you have 90% of it done.
Yeah, 90% is not 100. So the only thing you're doing is running the risk of it then not coming to completion and blowing up in your face.
So you think it's his camp putting it out?
Yes. Who has motivation to put this out there and make it public? The player. Trying to get more money from his current team. The agent. Calling Woj. Calling Shams. Jim Louth told us 2 days ago that if this report came out, okay, Louth Stradamus told us 2 days ago, just be careful if we start to see the reports of interest from the Celtics and interest from any teams on Kemba Walker because of this contract situation with him being eligible for the Supermax in Charlotte, yet him also 2 weeks ago coming out of the basketball camp saying, I'm willing to take less than the Supermax, and his team probably not willing to give him the Supermax. So there is wiggle room there, right? It's a debatable number. He's not a slam dunk guy for that number. No, his team's not going to pay him that number. So there's sort of this back and forth. There's a struggle on what's he going to get paid there. There's a negotiation that will go on. So if he's trying to squeeze more money out of his current team, how do you do it? You got to create leverage. You got to hit the market. You got to go talk to other teams. And if you're his camp, how do you do that? How do you create that leverage? You create fireworks in Boston.
I'm hearing too much now.
You have his agent go out there, and you have his agent talk to the Celtics, and you pretty much say, oh, it's a done deal. And then when it's not a done deal, who's this come back to? What happens then? You know, is it going to look bad for Woj if he doesn't go to the Celtics? Will what he said be wrong? Will Woj be wrong if he doesn't go to the Celtics based on what Woj has reported to this point? What did he say?
Kemba Walker is very likely to replace Kyrie Irving as a Celtics point guard.
I said it was very likely. And then, you know, and then 2 days from now, he can come back and report, yeah, I said it was very likely. And then you know what happened? Michael Jordan came back into the mix and made a huge new offer. And that's why what was very likely didn't end up happening. And he will not be wrong. His report will not have been wrong. Yeah, right now it could be very likely, but things could change. So that's why I think...
So that you don't... Hearing the audio doesn't make you feel... Hearing the audio makes me feel a little different where this... Maybe if it's very likely, I feel better about the situation when he says that versus the tweet. Saying they're the front runners means nothing to me at this point in the game. But saying he's very likely to replace Kyrie Irving, coming from a guy like that...
That's different.
It means
that's,
something to
that's
me.
That's specific. Yep. You're taking that one single player off that team. He's replacing.
I completely flipped after hearing the sports.
It feels like they're one and the same. I feel like you're
right. They're both one and the same.
They're pretty much the same report. Right now, it's very likely.
It's a jazzed up one, though. Jim's right.
But I'm telling you, if he goes back to Charlotte, will Woj's report of saying it's very likely be wrong? No.
No, but the fact that he said it like that makes me feel differently.
Okay, maybe it does.
And maybe that's just the fact that because Woj has to speak now instead of just seeing the tweets on Yahoo, now that he's ESPN, he has to actually speak and say words. Maybe he has to speak differently from his tweets, and he has to say more stuff to get more stuff out, and he gets more exposed.
Yeah.
But whatever that reason is, it makes me feel differently.
That's all. That's all I'm saying is we got to be cautious with this because this can happen at this time of year. Things can happen, and you got to ask yourself, who's motivated to have this story out there today? I don't believe it's the Celtics, though. I'm going to disagree with you on that. I think it's the player. The player and the agent have the motivation to drop this one out there today, that he's going to Boston. Done deal. He's leaving town. and then have his old team say, no, 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 we can't have that. We need this guy. Well, Jim, what were you telling us yesterday about how much Charlotte needs this guy for ticket sales and marketing and to be a player?
I think it was Woj, of all people, on a podcast that I heard somebody, or it was one of the insiders that said that this guy is the only thing they can sell down there.
He's the central figure to their entire operation.
He sells tickets. He sells all this marketing stuff, everything. And it's not just the money. It could just be the money, like the length. It could be the length of term, too. Maybe they're only offering 4 years because other teams can offer him four years.
You're talking about a guy who legitimately, you could argue, impacts the value of their franchise because of where they are and not having a lot of other, you know, marquee players around him there. They're trying to build there. So if you're the agent for Kemba Walker, what do you got to do? You got to make them think you're leaving and you're walking out the door. And that's just doing your job. So I hope it's true. I hope that they're not bluffing. I hope that he is coming to the Celtics, because if it is true, it's great for the Celtics. It says good things about the Celtics. It means that another free agent is picking the Celtics, and it means it's happening after everything that has gone wrong with the Celtics in recent months. It would be fabulous. I hope it's happening. I hope it's real. Kemba Walker would be a great thing. And if it is true, for the sake of conversation, what does that mean for the head coach, Brad Stevens? We'll talk about that with your calls. 617-779-0985. As Zoe mentioned a couple of minutes ago, we'll have Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe with us starting at 10:50 this morning. Yes?
Oh, nothing. Okay. Just a little hissing.
Okay.
I
always do that. Okay.
Yeah, he's a little snipey with the local TV entity. Nessun. Dan's been attacking Nessun.
All of that coming up today here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'd like to dedicate this one to John Wallach for his ride to Philadelphia this weekend. Just put this one on repeat the whole way. You know what I think of every time I hear this song now?
Yeah, we got a lot of culture here.
No, it's not that. I think about sitting in the booth after the Patriots lost to the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Didn't they have this on repeat or close to it?
It played every 10 minutes, it felt like. For hours. I mean, we were in the booth 3.5 hours after the game ended. And I remember looking at Jim during one of the breaks and going, you know, it's not a bad song.
No, it's not. But that one gets ingrained with you. Just like when you lost to the Giants both times. I remember it was Alicia Keys and Jay-Z, New York. That would just continually play.
Yeah, and Ace Frehley, Back in the New York Groove. Yeah. That one, too.
Yep. Tina Turner.
You're the best. But they had this one banging all night there in that stadium. It just kept playing and playing and playing. Yep. For hours on end doing post game in there. 617-779-0985. When I heard this news this morning about Kemba Walker potentially coming to the Celtics, Adrian Wojnarowski says it's very likely that he replaces Kyrie Irving here in Boston when free agency opens. You know what I thought? Second to the fact that it's great for the Celtics that they're going to land a free agent.
What'd you think?
And they're going to have a great look on their hands, and they're going to improve their team. I thought, this is it for Brad Stevens. Last shot here, bud. You are going to get another chance, a new lease on another good team.
Yeah.
And based on that report the other day from, again, anonymous veteran player, saying that the communication was not good and veteran players like to know exactly what is expected of them, and players in general like to know exactly what is expected of them, that he will now have on his hands a team that we expect will have a good veteran leader in Kemba Walker, right?
Yeah.
By all accounts, really good guy on top of being a really good player. Maybe not as good as Kyrie. He's not Kyrie Irving, but he's still a really good player. Let's not lose that here, even though you might have downgraded a little bit, and someone that should be someone who is valuable to the young offensive threats on this team, like Tatum and Brown, and we'll also now have a, we hope, we're crossing our fingers, revived Gordon Hayward, right?
Yeah.
If this Celtics team underperforms, what's the excuse this time? If the Celtics team doesn't find its balance on or off the court, what's the excuse this time?
I'll be the coach. And then it's full center on him.
The next change is the coach.
Yeah.
That's it. You've had your run now. The time is now. The rubber now meets the road. I know there have been a lot of changes on this roster, but at some point you've got to say, all right, listen, we've got to make another change here. We've got to mix something else up. That's what it's got to be, doesn't it?
Yeah. They've given you multiple teams of different makeups.
Right. And I'm just saying, when you go out.
Which one do you do best at?
When you
get
Kemba Walker now,
yeah.
There's no more excuses about Kyrie being the bad egg and completely, you know, disrupting the apple cart. That's over. You've got a good guy now. You've got a really good guy, and you should have a good room. So you shouldn't have to worry about all those issues. You shouldn't have to manage the headaches anymore. We expect. And if the headaches are gone and you've got a team that's now coachable, we expect it to be coachable. If it is, let's assume it is. Let's assume Kemba Walker's coming here and then the team underperforms. You've then got to look at the coach. You do. That's what I think. But the other thing is, we all think Brad Stevens is a good coach, right? I know I think
God,
that.
Yeah.
You think that.
Yeah, it's not
most
an indictment
people do.
On Stevens. Right.
Maybe we finally see it come together. Maybe we see the best of Brad Stevens come out now.
Maybe you can really I give you a reason why maybe we're going to see that?
Maybe we see the train be fully put on the tracks and go full steam ahead.
Fuck, I'm down Disney World.
Disney World? That's what you think
that's
of when
the big
you're
one right there, that
trains
one. Yes.
Effect? That's because you've never ridden the train here in Boston, ever.
Nah, I would never get on a train here. That's just a working train. That's just a little chicken, chicken, chicken. Yeah. That's a big boy coming through there.
That's commuter rail right there.
Yeah. That's a big commuter rail. I like the first one.
That first one's like a nice steam engine.
That could be Brad Stevens. This could be
GTFO. It's got one of those,
him putting his train on the tracks and going full steam ahead. This could be his team.
All aboard. All aboard here.
That's what it is. The Polar Express. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
This could be make or break.
I believe he can. I think this is it's logical in his progression that this is going to work for him if they get Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
Because his first season, he admitted he was just learning the NBA game, right? He came back his second season as a better coach, right? He in the playoffs, when he first started in the playoffs, he was lost in the playoffs, right? He came back as a better coach. Game ones of series, they didn't look as good at first, and then he responded in game twos and looked better. I feel like he gets a chance to see it play out. Now he gets one chance to play with Kyrie and Hayward and all these personalities on one team. The next year, I fully believe he's going to come back better. It's just a progression of him as a coach. It seems like that's what he does. He soaks it all in one time, and then the next time, he improves.
He's coming up on his six-year anniversary as Celtics head coach.
He's been here a while now.
It'll be 6 years next week.
Yeah, we talk about it with Caserio. You know, there's a shelf life to everything. Shelf life to those coaches.
Well, I mean, listen,
too.
6 years, I know the beginning was building blocks phase, but I think when you start hearing about there being communication issues with players, there's just, if it's true,
I
if
find
that
it
reports,
hard to believe that he
I know,
can't communicate
so do
with
I.
players. I find
so
that
do I, but let me tell
ridiculous.
You, how the hell do we know?
Right.
We don't know. If that's true, that's really inexcusable. It is. If he has issues getting through to players, if the report is true and we don't know if it is or not, how would we know? And how would many people know? I don't even know that the people on a day-to-day basis that are in there would know. They have to take the word of the players who play for him or have played for him in the case of that report.
See, when he talks to us, he's like, yeah, we're aware of this. We talk about this every day. We do these team-building things. We come together. We watch the film. You know, there were certain things they would do little field trips on together. Hard for me to believe this guy doesn't connect.
But you know how it is. You know how it is just to be able to, just talking
it's
is not connecting.
Two-way street.
Talking and
man.
Connecting are two different things.
Right.
Right?
You got to be able to affect people.
It sounded like that guy wanted to know how many minutes he was playing, what role he was exactly playing in, and Stevens couldn't give him that.
Right.
And it might not have been Stevens' fault, depending on what team that guy was on and which version of the Celtics it was on.
So.
You don't know.
You played for a lot of coaches in your career, right?
I told you.
All different positional coaches. Yep. Right. And you had coaches that would talk to you.
Sure.
And you had guys that really connected with you.
Yeah. Yeah. There's guys I learned from. There's guys I didn't learn a thing from. Absolutely. And those were coordinators. They just assume,
I mean,
you know.
You still have nightmares about Bill Parcells.
Standing in my room.
You want to talk about getting connected. That guy connected with you.
Still through my dreams. That's creepy.
Bill Parcells still haunts Scott Zolak's dreams. That is a true story.
Ain't my fault.
That's just so great.
He laughed his ass off.
Zoe told him that recently.
Yeah, that's a good one, honey. Oh,
yeah. Mm. I slept dreams about you. But you love that guy.
Run through a wall for him.
Right.
Because he connects.
And then you had other coaches that you completely forget about.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That you don't even remember anything they told you. That's the difference between connecting with a guy and not connecting with a guy. So, who knows? Maybe he just doesn't have that, you know, Parcells thing. The connection. It's got to be a connection.
They all don't.
So, we'll see.
John Farrell.
But I just think there's got to be some real expectations now. There's no, you get Kemba. By all accounts, great guy. Great guy. And you're getting another chance. You're getting another chance of a superstar team here.
I used to collect trains. I had a big, fat Lionel train.
My kids.
My mom brought it up, and it's still in my attic right now this day.
I bought my kids for Christmas a real, like, old-school, wide-track Lionel train to put around the Christmas tree.
And break that thing, huh?
Not cheap.
No.
Hundreds of dollars.
Go to some of the hobby
Polar
shops.
Polar Express theme, though.
Oh,
really cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Not cheap, though.
They like it?
They love
My
it.
My kids get creeped out
they
by the animation in that movie,
for
though.
It.
Why?
Really?
A little bit, yeah.
Huh.
A little bit creeped out by the animation.
Yeah, the kids are a little creepy looking in the movie. I admit.
Oh, couldn't be the oboe that vanishes up on top of the train. Follow me.
The oboe or the hobo?
The hobo.
Silent H.
The oboe or the hobo. Want to take some calls?
Yeah, take some calls.
Pete's in Delaware. Hey, Pete.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Good, Pete.
Good. Hey, a couple of things. First of all, I encourage you to read the Charlotte Observer today. Basically, the article gives you every reason why Kemba's not going to stay with quotes from Mitch Kupchak. It's pretty good article to read. And the other thing, Jim Calhoun, I know I have a lot of close ties to UConn. Because I lived there my whole life until I moved to Delaware. But there's an article in the Eagle Tribune. Jim Calhoun, finally, someone defending Brad Stevens. I did not realize that Calhoun and Stevens were so close. That Calhoun goes to their, has been to their practices, and he's like a second father to Kemba. They share the same agent, by the way. And what's Calhoun doing? Pushing Kemba to Boston. And he does have a big influence on the young man, so it would not shock me if he ends up there. And if you got to read the Charlotte Observer thing, guys. It gives you every reason with quotes as to why he basically won't be back. If they don't shed salary by Sunday, he's not going to be back in Charlotte.
Where did you read the Calhoun thing? Did you just know that?
Eagle Tribune.
Okay. Follow up on that one, too. Pete, appreciate it. Thanks for the call, as always. I got that story up from the Charlotte Observer. And it basically is all about Mitch Kupchak talking about the issues that it would cause making the roster weaker next season and luxury tax that the Hornets situation would be in. He sounded determined to avoid the team from paying the league's luxury tax at the end of next season. The massive contract Walker would command will have the Hornets flirting with the tax threshold, projected around $132 million in player payroll. Some of the quotes: I would not anticipate that is something we would look to do. There are ways to increase it. It's important we address this as soon as possible. Everyone needs to get on and plan. And then they write, that suggests Kupchak will look to trade a veteran salary or waive a veteran and use the stretch provision under the NBA rules to spread the cap implications of someone else's guarantee. And it's all about him talking about saving money, saving money, saving money. So they're trying to slash salaries there. And that's what he's talking about there. And so this is basically, they're saying, the domino effect of why if they sign Kemba Walker, it will most definitely weaken their roster for next season, which is why if Kemba's looking at it, he's saying, why do I want to stay here? If you sign me and you're slashing all these other salaries and cutting guys out, well, that's not building around me. That's just signing me and making me your marketing piece. And, well, I don't want to be that guy. Yeah. I don't want to be the only guy on the team. I want you to build a team here. Whereas in Boston, they want to spend, spend, spend. See that? Still have some faith in the NBA players that look at a team and say, look at that team. They just want to win. They'll do whatever it takes.
Come on, Danny.
That's the value in being the Celtics and having good ownership. They want to do what it takes. Glad there are players that still see that for what it is. Kemba Walker is one of those guys. We'll talk more about this with you coming up next. 617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy at 1050. That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
He had said he would take less of the Supermax. They were never offering him the Supermax. That's for a select few players in a league. But they could still offer him far more than anybody else in the league. And I think Charlotte has started to make it easier for Kemba Walker to walk away. Because you look at that roster, you look at how they're set up in Charlotte, it's going to be very difficult for him to win. And he has been loyal to Charlotte. He loves that city. He's loved that organization. But Michael Jordan has shown thus far in negotiations, there are limits to how far he's going to go. It has opened the door for other teams. It has absolutely opened the door for Kemba Walker, who played at UConn, who's from New York, who knows the Northeast, and looks at that Celtic roster and says, with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, a revived Gordon Hayward, this is a team that can contend in the Eastern Conference.
Football season?
Assuming Kemba Walker shows up here by Monday, the train is back on the tracks for the Boston Celtics. Man, are they lucky.
I think they are so lucky.
Got that Shamrock so far up there behind on this one. This is lucky, is what this is. The mascot is appropriately named. Yes. 617-779-0985.
Lucky that Horford opted out.
Yeah, lucky in a lot of ways.
Like, he wouldn't be able to do this if Horford opted in.
They've had a bad string of things happen, and now, like, all of a sudden, their fortunes have changed.
Although, Horford and Rozier or Kemba Walker? Because that's the difference.
Oh, God.
Because if you got Horford, you probably would have had to sign Rozier because you could go above and beyond the cap to do that.
That's the saddest part of this is you lose Kyrie, you get nothing in return. Horford opts in.
Horford on a 3 or 4 year deal.
I'm just talking for this upcoming year. Horford and Rozier or Kemba and X.
For 1 year, it's probably Horford and oh, God, it pains me to say Terry Rozier. But for the long-term health, it's way better than Kemba Walker. It's way better having Kemba Walker. Give me Kemba. What do you think Tim McCone's saying today? Kemba hater.
Oh, no.
Someone should check on him.
Poor guy. Three times the amount of money he wanted to spend on him.
Yeah, he wanted to spend $12 million a year on him. That's what he wanted to spend. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Brandon is in Boston. Hey, Brandon.
Thanks for taking my phone call. So I know you guys are talking about bigs. If I can talk about these two bigs real quick. I think the Celtics should definitely target these two. Frank Kaminsky is a 7-footer.
Frank the Tank.
He can stretch the floor. Great at laying the ball up. Great three-point shooter. And another guy, Trey Lyles. Great. He can stretch the floor as well. Can attack the basket. Great three-point shooter. Can drive, do all that stuff. So with these two on the floor, combined for 18 and eight rebounds. And they're both capable of scoring 20-plus per game. So if you do get Kemba, Frank Kaminsky is the guy you want to get to compliment him. So I want to know
deal.
How you guys feel about this.
Yeah, package deal there for Frank Kaminsky. What's he going to make? What's his money? I don't know what he's going to make. I don't know what his salary is. I'm bad at knowing what like secondary guys make in this league.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at knowing that part.
But that's the type of guy you're going to have to look at.
Yeah, that you have to. You can't look at top free agents anymore.
Yeah, you're not a front-end big guy.
Nope. Something tells me they're going to need cheaper options than that, though. They're going to need cheap,
Baines.
Even Baines was too expensive. Yep. That's why they had to trade him.
So they have a $4.8 million exception that some are suggesting will likely be used on a big man. I mean, basically, you're Aaron Baines.
Nice. Excellent. Or you rely on the Williams kid.
Time Lord. Tyler in Amesbury. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I actually was just about to touch on the what the last caller just said as far as Frank Kaminsky. Seems like he had some really good games in Boston last year.
Great. What's he going to cost? That's what I'm interested in. What's he going to cost?
Chikolinski?
Can he fit?
I'd say they're looking at probably around $5 million is what I'm hearing.
Okay, can he cost $4.8 million?
I think with his buddy Kemba in town, he probably could.
Bingo, done. $4.8 million, Frank Kaminsky. Happy? Everyone good with that?
And he goes by Frank the Tank, so that's even better.
That's what I said. That's why I yelled Frank the Tank when the caller called in a minute ago.
I just like the fact he's got a ski at the end.
Frank the Tank, Wisconsin.
Meathead. Yeah.
He's the guy that Charlotte picked when the Celtics offered 4 first-round picks to Jordan.
That's right, Beetle.
They said, no, I don't want 4 first-round picks. We want Frank Kaminsky.
We want Frank the
right,
Tank
Beetle.
Kaminsky.
Fell in love with him in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
that's
Wisconsin,
right.
Man.
Good job, Beetle Boy.
Frank the Tank.
Sometimes I forget where these
okay,
guys
okay, that's enough time spent on big men, okay? We need one for $4.8 million, as McTakey just told us. That's all we have. 4.8, right? That's the number?
That's mm-hmm. the number I'm saying.
$4.8 million. All we have to spend. Daniel on the Cape. Dan.
I'll keep it quick. I realize you guys seem to be all in on Kemba Walker coming to Boston, but I'll just give you a few reasons why I think that D'Angelo Russell would probably be a better option. First of all, I think we could sign him for a cheaper contract, which would give us more room to spend more money on a big man, maybe Steven Adams or something like that. Second, I would say that the Celtics, one of the major problems with the Celtics this season was that they didn't mesh well. They didn't really get along. And would Kemba Walker fit well with them? I don't know.
Okay, this is the problem, though. This is the problem. And this name has been kicked around. I've heard this name brought up. You're not the first caller to mention D'Angelo Russell. Does he want to play for the Celtics?
I couldn't tell you.
That's... Of course he doesn't want to play for the Celtics because so few guys do. And when you have someone who does, you've got to take him. It's like fantasy world out there. Oh, no. Kemba Walker's put that. No. You should have gotten D'Angelo Russell. That would have been better.
You get Russell, it wouldn't allow you to sign Steven Adams because he makes 24, 25, and 27 the next
Can't
3 years for
that?
Oklahoma City.
Like, what world are you living in? You've got to want the player to play for the Celtics. You can't just pick a free agent like you're drafting in fantasy basketball. Like you're playing NBA 2K19 and building your team. That's still it? 2K19? Is that still how they name those video games? This isn't a video game. These guys can pick where they go.
Pick it.
There's zero indication that D'Angelo Russell wants to play for the Boston Celtics. There are plenty of reasons why we're learning that Kemba Walker does want to play for the Celtics. So you've got to take advantage of that. Let's talk to Dan Shaughnessy. He'll join us in studio coming up next.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Come on down.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
It's not one of my favorites.
Telling me this song's great.
This is the original start of free agency here, Dan. The original formation of a super team.
Yeah, did you like that? I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Beatles referencing
it's,
something
it's
I wrote.
You playing your greatest hits is what you're doing here.
Well, I was reading about the band. And they used to do this, you know, these super bands, and they would.
They still do. That's still sort of a thing.
Do they still present as like law firms, like Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young?
No, they have names that they name the bands.
Like Migos.
But
no, they don't do the law firm names.
I learned last week Migos is a group.
It occurred to me that with the NBA free agency, that what they do now, you know, in my world, going back to LeBron and the Heat, is this assembling super teams of stars who like each other and want to play together. And that's what it reminded me of. So, yes.
Nice.
That's what we're into.
All right, Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe, is with us. Dan, what do you make of this latest Celtics news?
Big, big. Well, I mean, you hit on something that, of course, I would have said right away, which is, what if it's not true? Because for the next 5 days, we're going to be like, just as if this is de facto. Woj said it. I know we said very likely. But yeah, it's you know, there was a column in the paper today. Gary Washburn was on this morning, and I thought, boy, this strikes me as really optimistic and looking ahead. And Wash also said, you know, that he's.
You taking a paper with you when you leave?
I always have a paper.
No, Blake, can you leave it? Because I need paper.
Oh no!
What do you need paper for?
We're going to do crabs tonight. I just want to have paper out.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Cover the table.
This is Gary Washburn. Acquiring the 29-year-old Walker would be an adequate response to losing Irving because he's arguably better.
I saw that.
Better.
Arguably better.
Whoa. I never saw that before.
You know, what's happened to Gary Washburn in the last couple weeks?
I love Wash.
Can you tell me?
I need
because he's usually, he's typically a voice of reason, and he's very fair. He's down the middle. He's not.
He is.
He's Pete Abraham now.
Pete's
turned into somebody else.
We'll get to him. We'll get to Pete Abraham.
He's been crushing it.
I don't know what's going on with him, but wow. Yeah, Gary has been
that
very...
That jumped off the page of you, didn't
you know,
it?
A couple weeks ago, Gary was writing, not even a couple of weeks ago, that the Celtics with their draft picks would get younger and more athletic and that they'd be better by just doing nothing, you know, which has been a real like green teamer response.
Yeah.
Now it's acquiring Walker, as you said, would be the adequate response to losing Irving as opposed to addition by subtraction, as so many people have been, you know, spouting for the last couple of weeks. Arguably better.
I've never seen that before, and I don't know how you could.
I have never heard the argument that Kemba Walker is better than Kyrie Irving. I have never heard anybody make that argument. I am not going to make that argument, even though I like this and I'm liking this more and more by the minute. I will never make that argument, and I've never heard anybody else do it.
No, but you can see where this is going, Beetle, which is just this is sort of the launching of it, and of course, you know, better attitude, better guy, better team guy, all the stuff Danny was talking about last week. A very talented guy, 26 points a game, doesn't miss any games. So now it's going to be, first we had that they were better with Isaiah Thomas.
Can you make the case that he'll be better for the team and that they'll get out of the second round because he'll actually give a damn?
Yes.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yes. I mean,
that's for sure.
It doesn't elevate the ceiling to they can win the NBA championship.
Correct.
That you had with Kyrie.
Right.
So you don't have that ceiling.
But the point goes back to what good is the ceiling if the player doesn't care? And it appeared that he did not care.
Right.
Well, the ceiling becomes useless as he made it. You know, Kyrie Irving decided that the ceiling was going to be useless this year. I thought the ceiling could be salvaged if he were to return.
Oh,
I do. I mean, the ceiling is salvageable, but he's decided to leave.
Right. So I'm going to be careful not to spin this too positively, you know, because I know that's what's going to take hold here. They still had a higher ceiling with Kyrie. He's a better player.
You don't do too positively.
Well, I'm just going to rein it in a little bit.
Okay.
I love getting Walker here. That would be great. It really is. I mean, and that's goodbye to Rozier also, correct?
Yes, which is a win.
Which is okay with me.
Which is such a win.
I mean, just a guy who's
not
as good as he thinks
he is. Who would not be okay with? Like, who has defended Terry Rozier? Said I ever wanted to keep
Scary
Terry Rozier.
Terry, you know, that whole thing. You know,
yesterday we heard a report that he might be going to the Suns, and I said you could send him to the actual Suns.
I'm sure like,
No, he's just never as good as he thinks he is, which is, you know, it helps him in a lot of ways.
Among other things, yes.
It helps him in a lot of ways, yes.
Yeah. So it is. It's good news.
Yes.
And it just works out in a positive way for the Celtics that this happens.
And not to be negative, but Beadle, if this doesn't happen now, it's just going to bring that giant ball of bad back on our lap here.
Which is why, Dan, you've been in this game longer than pretty much anybody. You know how this works.
Right.
Who's motivated to get the story out there today?
I know. I heard your thing. You are correct. I agree with
you
on this. And, you know, it's, but he can't be about money, you know, at this point, I'm thinking. He wants to go somewhere where he wants to play, has a chance to succeed. He won't be in Charlotte where nobody cares, where the college teams are much bigger than your team. And this will be a step up in his career. And the UConn element. I don't know about this whole Calhoun thing. I don't know if there's anything there or not.
Dickie V loves it. He just tweeted.
Oh, there you go. Mm. Well,
oh, time out, baby. Kevin would be awesome with the Celtics.
But I think if you play your college ball at UConn, you have some affiliation, you know, have some connection to this area, and you realize that the Celtics are a big deal. And now you're going to be playing every game, scoring 20. Well, you probably have to move that down, scoring 20 a game, and play in a place where it matters. And I think playing in a place where it matters when you've been in the league, you know, 6 years, whatever it is for him, yeah, you want to go to a place that matters. But if he doesn't, after all this, and it's strictly a play, more dough there, or God forbid he goes to another market, the devastation here would be compounded.
He can make $80 million more if he stays.
Really, is that true?
Yeah, if they offer it.
If they offer it, right.
But that's what you got to factor in.
Right.
And they're to the best of our knowledge, they're not.
Yeah. I mean, that's a horrible franchise. When have you ever get excited about
that? What's worse, that or the Pelicans?
Well, the Pelicans, you're in New Orleans, so
we'll take Zion out of it. Now I take Anthony Davis out of it. You know?
Yeah, I would rather follow and play for the Pelicans than the Hornets.
I'd rather play in Charlotte.
Would you really?
Yeah, Charlotte's a great city.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm down the whole Southeast. I just don't like any of them.
Yeah. Your week's next week, 4th of July, big week. Your worst week of summer.
The Calhoun thing, here are some of the quotes from Calhoun that were in the Eagle Tribune. He said, I know Brad Stevens very well. I coached against him at the Final Four. He's a great coach. He really is. I've been to his practices. I like his style. He's tough, but he's not in guys' faces. I think he is perfect for the NBA. And he says of Kemba Walker that Celtics fans and their demands for max effort are perfect for Kemba Walker.
Okay.
That he thrives on that. He said he would fit in perfectly in Boston, that he says he's not like Larry Bird, who sort of had a scowl on and would kill you. Kemba is a happy guy. He does it with a smile. He's a smiling assassin.
Hmm.
That's what he said of Kemba Walker and how he would fit in.
That's how I like to think of myself.
Calhoun said of Kemba Walker, he understands the New England passion.
Hmm.
When we'd get to the Sweet 16, we'd usually be on the New England team. We'd be the only New England team remaining, so we sort of were adopted by New England. Trust me, he understands how important winning is up there. If he chooses Boston, Boston will love Kemba. That is Calhoun on Kemba Walker. Possibly, potentially, very likely, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, choosing the Celtics in the coming days. That's what he had to say about it.
Wow.
He has the same age in Kemba Walker as Paul Pierce, if that matters. Wow.
Does Calhoun think that Kemba Walker is better than Kyrie Irving?
I don't see any comments from Calhoun on that.
I got to talk to Wash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give him a call.
I don't see any comments. I think...
Agents get 3%, right?
I don't know what it is in the NBA.
This guy, Schwartz, his clients this year made $409 million in the NBA.
What's his first name? Neil?
Jeff.
It's a lot of money. Good for him.
Jeff Schwartz, wow.
Good work if you can find it. Should have been an agent. It's a good job.
Yeah, it is. It's a fun job.
Busy, though.
Yeah, you got to hustle.
Hours. A lot of hours.
But once you get your core clients, and then, you know, if you get them from a big enough school, and then the kids come out of that school, you befriend those kids, it sort of has a domino
That's
effect.
Constant hustle, dude.
Did you have an agent when you played?
Yeah.
You actually paid Bust Out Retail for the agent?
Oh, yeah. Ralph Sindrich actually played the game, which is
you didn't demand great. You get a deal from the agent.
I didn't sign with him until I got drafted. I held up.
What's the rate now in the NFL? 2%, right?
I don't even know anymore.
See, I think Larry Bird got Bob Wolf to do it for nothing, you know.
I'm sure.
For, like, prestige, Larry, just to
yes,
be able to
Bob
say
Bob Wolf
had...
was down and out, and I believe Larry's agent worked for the donut.
Wow.
But it brought his career back. It was worth it. And Larry lived next door to Bob Wolf.
Wow.
I think the percentage was very low, like zero.
Jesus.
I always picture you being that kind of guy.
Not even nice. Not even a small cut? Not even, like, a flat rate?
Larry didn't want to spend on anything. He didn't have to. If you mailed him a shirt, he'd wear it. He'd wear anything that's free.
Dang. Wow.
We loved him for it.
617-779-0985. We're going to continue with Dan Shaughnessy. We'll continue to take your calls on the potential,
very likely
move of Kemba Walker to the Celtics. That's right. Celtics putting the train right back on the track in the coming days. Also, Red Sox bullpen implosion. There was another one.
I was there. That was bad yesterday.
You were there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.